Lord, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of all of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock, our strength, and our redeemer. If through the words of this human being we do not hear the voice of God, speak to each of us then here in the quietness of the heart. Amen. This morning is a reflection on the gospel lesson. I'd like to offer the reflection from the perspective of one of the disciples going to Emmaus. The passage that we just heard was the end of the story. When the two disciples have reached Emmaus and they discover that the stranger with them is none other than Jesus Christ, their Savior. And I'd like to tell that story from within the story, from the perspective of one of those disciples. One is named Cleopas, but we don't know the name of the other disciple. So I would encourage you as we reflect today on this passage to think about yourself as the other disciple. Think about being on that road, in that house, and then face to face with Jesus Christ. Let us hear the story from within the story. What are you talking about? He startled Cleopas and me on the road with this question. We were deep in conversation. We were lost in our questions, down with our grief and devoid of hope. We thought he was simply another weary pilgrim heading home from Jerusalem when he approached us. But then we decided he was a weary, clueless pilgrim. How could he not know what had happened? How could he not know what we were talking about? It was the headline among everybody in Jerusalem. It was the only topic of conversation as we walked those 7 miles towards our home. Jesus of Nazareth, supposedly the Messiah, yet another disappointment. Instead of leading a revolution, he suffered a criminal's death on the cross, and he let all of us down. Sometimes have you ever noticed that we get so lost in ourselves that we don't see what's right in front of us? Sometimes we get so lost in what's going on in our own lives that we don't realize who it is that is walking with us, who it is who is dining with us, who it is desiring to save us from our self-pity. Even though he confused us on the road, he also intrigued us. We asked him questions about the scriptures, and he really knew the answers. He was not spouting off facts as if he just learned something in school. The word of God was a part of him. The words were his life, not just the confession on his lips. He seemed to know God personally, not as someone far, as something far off, but as someone who had come near. And he seemed to know Cleopas and me. Whatever time passed in his company, it wasn't long enough. By the time we reached Emmaus, it was dark, and he wanted to keep going. I'm the first to confess, we had mixed motives for saying, as we saw in verse 28, stay with us. Selfishly, we wanted to spend more time with him. We wanted to learn more about him. We wanted to learn more about the prophets and the law from him. We wanted to glean from his mysterious wisdom. But something else drew us to ask him to stay with us that night. And that is the fact that hospitality was ingrained in Cleopas and me. All of our lives, we had learned the importance of welcoming the stranger into our homes, caring for each other with a warm meal and kind company. Our ancestor, Abraham, one of the ones we were talking with him about on the road, welcomed 3 guests in his home who turned out to be angels. That's what Cleopas and I grew up believing, that anytime you meet a stranger, you could be meeting the face of God. You could be meeting a divine visitation of God coming to you. And so it was just natural for us to look at him and say, please, come into our home. It was not a matter of debate welcoming the stranger. He was different from us. All the more reason for us to sit with him and listen to him and learn from him. But when we got into our home, when we got into that enclosed space and the walls around us closed in and cupped us in his presence, and held us there, and we set the table. Something seemed familiar about him. There's something about going from the open road into an enclosed space and to the comfort and the confinement of a table that you start seeing people differently. When we eat with people, we start to see them differently, and we start to see ourselves differently too. And then something even more familiar about him came. We talked some more. And at first I was startled when he took the bread. After all, that should have been Cleopas's job as the host. But then I remembered. I caught Cleopas's eye and I could see that he remembered too. There was a story that the 11 disciples had told us over and over since that horrific Thursday evening, how he had lifted the bread up to eye level and declared it his body. We no longer needed to ask what he was talking about on that Thursday evening. We knew, because we could see that seated at our table was not a stranger, but the one who knew us best. It was Jesus. But no sooner did we reach for him, we remembered his words to Mary and the 11, the words that he'd said, "Do not cling to me, do not hold on to me, but go and tell my brothers and sisters what you have seen." How we longed to turn back time. Remember that song that Cher sang a few years ago, "If I could turn back time, if I could turn back time"? Don't we all sometimes have those moments where we wish we could turn back time and do things differently because we see things differently now? We had so many regrets. We longed for those hours on the road to be back so that we could tell Jesus, now that we knew it was Jesus, exactly how much we loved him, that we were sorry for doubting him, that we were sorry for being disappointed in the way things had worked out. We longed to turn back time, and we wished so much that things could have been different. But at the same time, we realized we had been given a great gift. We'd received our true sight. The ability to see the risen Christ in each other. We'd welcomed him into our home, but he was the one who welcomed us into his too. He had become the host. He had entered into our conversation and met us. We had no choice. We had to tell. It was dangerous, very dangerous, to be back on the road in the middle of the night, but we didn't care. We ran towards Jerusalem. Do you know how long of a trip it was, 7 miles, and how long that took to walk and to run and to gasp for air in the middle of the night as we ran back to Jerusalem? But we didn't care, because in the face of Jesus Christ at that table, there were no options other than to go and tell what we had seen. So we returned and we found the 11. We told them what we had learned during the day, how he had appeared to Simon. He was appearing in many places. But when we told him about the bread, that's when they knew. That's when we all knew that we would never be the same again. When Jesus met us on the road and we didn't know who he was, he asked us what we were talking about. Well, now we do have something to talk about. We have a story to tell to the nations that will turn their hearts to the right. We have a story to tell of redemption and forgiveness. We have a story to tell of seeing Jesus in the least expected places. And now he is asking us to tell our story. How often during the week do you engage in a conversation with one another where you talk about what Jesus has done in your life, where you talk about where we've seen Jesus in one another? Easter is not just for one Sunday of the year. Easter lasts all year long because we are a saved, redeemed people by the grace of God all year long. And we all have a story to tell of how he has changed our lives. What are we talking about? We are talking about Jesus the Christ, the one who is, the one who was, the one who is to come, the one who lives and reigns with the Father and with the Holy Spirit, the blessed three in one, now and forever. And it is this faith that we now declare with our affirmation of faith. Let us rise and join together in the Apostles' Creed in response to the question, what are we talking about? We are talking about what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.